Thank you, Sean. He did an excellent job. I might ask him to do that every week. It's really good. Right there. And, these colds come on unexpectedly. I think my wife's been with hers now for going on 3 weeks. So, and she coughs worse than I do. If you have any questions about it, ask our cat. So every time Cheryl starts coughing, the cat goes and hides somewhere. And the cat is her cat there. So we'll be glad when this has been quite a winter for us. It's like colds and loved ones passing away and snow canceling. The weather canceling church and things like that. Not the most ideal of winters so far. 1 Peter 2. Turn there, please. And Cheryl said I can abridge this and make it short. So, and I'll, but I don't know if I'll do that. 1 Peter 12 and 13. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king, as to the one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. A similar passage of instruction is found in Romans, and let me read to you Romans 13. Just a few verses. Every person is to be in subjection to the government, governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation for themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good, but if you do what is evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword for nothing. For it is a minister of God, an avenger of him who brings wrath to the one who practices evil. May the Lord God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Government, and there are various forms of government, as you know. Technically, we like to call ourselves a democracy, but we're really in the form of government, a republic, and so in a sense, in a true democracy, the majority always wins. In our form of government, it's not so the way it's set up. It's kind of complicated, but ultimately God's in charge, so you have a democracy, you have a republic, you have like a monarchy, and in some cases that could be, in essence, a dictatorship. Now, our government, which is a republic, most of us realize that it is established by God for a purpose to take care of the needs of the populace and the people and laws, and every country needs a government. There needs to be some form of ruling body. Paul says that, Peter says that, the Word of God says that. Ultimately, though, God says He is in charge. So the ultimate authority is always God. God does allow man to institute governments that he's not happy with. That is, there are governments that do things that he does not approve of, that he does not authorize, that he says are against his will. In fact, in the Old Testament, in the book of Hosea, he says, Hosea 8:4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Now, obviously, God knew it. The idea there is that he did not approve of it. They did not consult him, and nor did they consider it when they were establishing their government. So God pretty well spells out what the government's supposed to do. And in essence, we are supposed to, as Paul says and as Peter says, be good citizens of the government. So we as Christians, we obey the laws. The laws that are there for our benefit. We're not at liberty to say, well, I don't like that law. In fact, I had a man in our church, and of course it's almost universal now, but back, and this was a few decades ago, and they started to make laws that said you had to buckle up in your car, and they could give you a ticket if you didn't buckle up. I thought it made good sense to buckle up. Lives have been saved because people have buckled up. But he was very adamant, and he said, I don't want to wear a seatbelt, and the government shouldn't have the right to make me wear a seatbelt. If my life gets injured in a crash, then that's my choice. They don't have the right. And I disagreed with him. I said, well, I think they do, and if they pull you over, they're going to give you a ticket. And you can tell and argue with the judge all you want that the government doesn't have the right to make you buckle up, and you'll find out you'll still be paying a fine. So there are some of us who don't grasp the concept of what government can do or is allowed to do biblically. Now, if the government instructed us to do unbiblical things, then yes, we need to take a stand and say, I will not obey that. For example, if a homosexual couple came to me and said, I want to be married and I have a license, I said, that's fine, go to anywhere legal in the state of Iowa that to get married. I won't perform the service. You can't compel me to do it, and I won't do it, and I don't approve of it. There are other things that the government has done that is just as wrong. So if God is on your side, yes, you can take a stand against it. Now, I think our government has drifted far from the foundations of what God originally intended. And I had a number of quotes from famous men. It's amazing, though, you don't find any of the candidates who are running for president quoting our forefathers and our former presidents. I wonder why. John Adams wrote and said, our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. What he was saying is, if we don't follow the biblical moral teachings of the Bible in the Judeo-ethic of government, we are going to fail. So his prediction was, our government, unless we are adhering to the biblical principles, we will drift far from what our intent was. In his son, John Quincy Adams said, "The highest glory of the American Revolution was that it connected the principles of Christianity with the principles of government." Now, I know some of you may have done this, and I've done this, and a number of books have been written to verify that our founding fathers, universally, and now I'm not saying they were evangelical Christians, don't misunderstand, but they all were universal in the agreement of the biblical principles of the Bible should be followed in the lives of the men who were going to be governing these people. And so they stood firm, our founding fathers, on this is the guide. This is from God. And so we need to remember that. So Peter is telling us here, and to those, because they were in a difficult situation, they were being persecuted, he's telling them he understands that in certain circumstances they will be persecuted. But when the government does what it is intended to do, then obey it. But ultimately, God is sovereign. God is the one in charge, as I read in Romans 13. So, God has a sovereign plan, and he hasn't informed me nor everyone as to why he allows bad governments to operate, why he allows evil people to be in authority in some cases. Ultimately, they will stand before God and be condemned, because the Bible teaches not only we as individuals, but governments. The people who have been governing America for the last 200 plus years, those people who have been elected and have been sent to Congress either as Congress people, representatives, or as senators, or as presidents or vice presidents, those men have a special judgment before God. Those women will have an additional judgment for God, before God. Not only will they be judged for their personal relationship and faith in Jesus, but how they acted in office and what they did for the country. In fact, it tells you that at the end of Matthew, in a sense, in other passages. So those who govern, governments aren't inanimate things. They are people. They are people. So all nations will stand before God because of their governments. Just let me give you some references to back that up. Daniel 3, Daniel 6, Acts 4, 19 through 20, Acts 5:27 through 32. And in fact, in the Romans passage that I read to you, where it says, in a sense, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, well, literally, that would be a reference to God, who is the ultimate highest power. There is no power above God. Every power then ranks under God. So technically, it also says, as the King James translates it, that a reference to under God or ordained of God, as it says, depending on your version, literally means subject under God. So if it's ordained by God, it ranks under God. It's subject to God. So in essence, God told his apostles that you obey government until they tell you to disobey me. And when they told them not to preach the gospel, God said, you can ignore that. When our government tells us we can't preach Jesus Christ, when we can't lift him up, when we can't point men to the Savior, God says, you can ignore that. He says, you can disregard that. They don't have that authority. They might have that power to lock you up, But God says, if they lock you up for it, you keep preaching. You need to point people to Jesus Christ. For some reason, we've kind of misunderstood that as citizens of the kingdom of God. We think we can't preach our faith out in the workplace. We can't preach our faith in the schools. You know, and according to the Bible, that's not so. He says, get out there and preach it. And if they lock you up, then I'll take care of you. You're doing what I said. He says, government is supposed to restrain evil. It's supposed to restrain evil. In essence, what he is saying is, it's to prevent crime. It's to be there to protect the citizens so they can't harm one another, rob one another, cheat one another, defraud one another, riot and do certain things that are harmful to the people. And so he says that's their responsibility. They are to restrain evil. So as long as they are enforcing laws that are biblical, that are protective, that are condoned by God, approved by God. He says, hey, you know, thou shalt not kill. So murder, in essence, is a crime. And so when they have a police force that arrests people for trying to kill one another, that's their authority. God says they're doing their job. So when the government appoints people to protect the citizens, they're doing their job. So respect the police. They should be doing their job. Now, if they're not doing their job, that's another thing. But as long as they're doing their job, and it's we should respect them, honor them, and do what they say. And he says, and to help guide you, he says, as he says in Romans and in other passages, you need to do it for conscience' sake, because God has given to us as Christians a conscience. Well, he's given to all people a conscience, but our conscience has been energized by the Holy Spirit, or is working with the Holy Spirit in our lives. So you have a conscience, and so that conscience is a determination of what's right and wrong, what's moral and immoral, what's good and what's bad. God has given everyone a conscience. He has. Listen, the people in Saudi Arabia have a conscience. They do. God gave it to them at birth. They were born with a conscience. But God says we as a people, if we don't listen to our conscience, if we're not sensitive to our conscience, we can, in a sense, sear our conscience or almost eradicate it, you know, in a sense, don't let it bother us, or we can come along and lie to it. So enough, if you tell yourself a lie long enough, you will believe it. You can do that to your conscience, and people can do that to your conscience. You know, in a sense, like brainwashing people. But God has said to us, I gave every one of you a God-sensitive conscience, and you sometimes have seared it and have not listened to it. So there are a number of passages. So be sensitive to your conscience. As a Christian, God has given you a conscience. And by the way, ultimately, as I said before, every person is going to stand before God ultimately. Isaiah 40:15. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust in the scales. So God, in a sense, again, is going to take care of those who are in government. So use your conscience biblically, as it were. God has given you a conscience, and if you work in government, God has still given you a conscience. You're working for God. in a sense, ultimately, because he's over the president, he's over the Senate, he's over the Congress. And I tell you, I would not want to be in the shoes of some of those congressmen. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of some of those senators or some of those Supreme Court justices when they stand before God, because God says, if you disregard your God-sensitive conscience and you do what is evil, you're going to reap what you sow. Now, and so I'm thankful for America, and I'm thankful that God has given us this opportunity, but our government has surely, as he says here, he's given us pretty good instruction here what they're supposed to do and what they are actually doing. And apparently, somewhere along the line, people in government have decided to disregard God and do what they want to do. And this is probably lined up with what the last days anyway, because I don't know when he's coming. I pray, Lord, come quickly. But the way I see things happening in the world and the way things are going, I think the coming of the Lord is really close. I mean, we just see the watered, and I say watered down news here. You don't really see the full news going on behind the scenes. When I look around and you see what's happening in Europe and the problems that they are having, and most of us probably don't even know that India and Pakistan are on the verge of going to war with one another, and other problems that are happening around the world, there is a lot going on that we aren't even privy to, and yet God tells us these things are going to happen in the last days, and he's going to tell us these things. And then when you see how the Roman Catholic Church is shifting to embrace homosexuality, and if you didn't know that, you haven't been close with and what they've been doing, and you study the last days and how there's going to be a world religion and how the Pope wants to embrace Islam and bring them into the fold. It's all stepping stones, as it were, that God's alerting us as Christians that the last day is getting close. And he tells us how the government's going to be in the last days. And we're probably setting up for that time. So it's getting closer than you think. So what do we say to ourselves? We know in Peter's day they were persecuted. And they were wondering, what can we do? And Peter said, preach the gospel, obey them when they're doing when they need to do. If they lock you up for breaking a real law, for not buckling up your seatbelt, you got what you deserved, as it were. But he says, if you get locked up for preaching the gospel, if you get locked up for saying abortion is murder, or demonstrating in front of a abortion clinic, then you're doing the right thing. And if you get up and you say, hey, homosexuality is a sin, it's still a sin. Most of us don't realize behind the scene the homosexual community is working hard in the government to make it illegal to say anything negative about homosexuality. They want to call it hate speech and say, if you say homosexuality is a sin, that's hate speech. If I would say Islam is not a true religion that gets a person to God, that would be hate speech. People are working to promote that even today. I mean, just look, they have a woman in Congress who hates Israel, says it all the time, and instead of censuring her for, hey, we can't just censure her for saying bad things about Israel, we better make this much more generic to appease the masses. And so what they're working towards it. God says, these days are coming. But until Lord takes us out of here, we need to live as Christians and do what the Lord tells us to do. So these are certain things that the Bible teaches us from Peter and from Romans. So if you live in a government where you can participate in the government, now we know that's not always the case. And again, that's God's ultimately in charge. But if you do have the opportunity to participate in your government as a Christian and you feel led to do so, then it's okay to go out. In fact, we should participate in government. You should go out and participate. Now, I'm not saying you have to run for office. Some Christians have run for office, and if I know a true Christian, an evangelist, is running for office and they're on my ballot, most likely they'll get my vote, in a sense, because they've taken a public stand for Jesus Christ. So God says, hey, participate in government. So I vote. In fact, I just voted in an election up there, you know, in Pleasant Hill. And of course, my wife, she didn't do her, I offered to take her to the polling place, but she said her vote would cancel out my vote. So she let my vote stand, and I did go and vote. In fact, I think I voted in every election that I can since I voted for Ronald Reagan, and that's a long time ago. So anyway, but I vote. I won't tell you how I voted in the last election in Pleasant Hill, but anyway, it didn't matter. My vote, I told her it didn't matter. We got beat overwhelmingly in the vote. That is, they passed this sales tax. So, but I participated, and you had the right to participate also. You should participate in government. As a citizen, go and vote. And when you vote, hey, search out the candidates. Make sure you know where they stand. Don't vote for them if you don't know who they are. You know, it's sort of like I've always wondered this, always, since I've been in Iowa, when I vote. I go there. Do you approve of these judges, usually? It's not in every election, but there's a whole list of judges that we're supposed to approve to go there. I don't know who they are. I've never heard of them. I guess it's my fault. I didn't take time to read about them and know where they stand. But, you know, so I always have to vote no. I mean, on every single judge, I have voted no since they put them on, because I don't know the judge. And I'll say, well, I would rather err to being no than to err to the positive. So that probably, I didn't do my due diligence, but there are a lot of judges on some of those ballots. So, and all. And so, but hey, I do participate in government. And it also, God allows us, as he says here, as he tells the apostles, some spoke to people in authority, like we know Festus, Paul spoke to him and to others, and Paul utilized his citizenship to appeal to Caesar. He wanted to persuade Caesar to understand what he was talking about. As a Christian, try and persuade the leadership to do the right thing. And you can do that. Especially in our government today, you can write them letters, make phone calls, send them emails. I mean, if there are issues that are biblical and are important to you, whatever the issue is, you have the right to try and persuade them. You know, pray about it and try and persuade them. So we live in an era now that you can do that. In fact, I've been doing it for a while, and I've discovered too, you know, it's sort of like, I'll probably be going off on a tangent, but I write to our congressmen, and they have email addresses because they're our congressmen. And our congressman says, do you want a response? I always check yes. I want a response. I've sent her 5 emails, lengthy emails, and always check, do you want a response? To this day, she has failed to respond to my email. I guess I'm unimportant or didn't contribute to her campaign, or I sent her a note that she really didn't want to listen to or take too seriously. Obviously, she was on the other side of the issue and said, please disregard this guy. So, hey, try and do that as right. And tell government to do that, which is right. One of the reasons is I don't like to give government too much money is because the people who are elected don't use the money generally for what it should be. I'm going to give you, and this is just one example. There are many examples. You can check this out. But, and of course, I'm not on a campaign against Sesame Street. My kids were raised with Sesame Street. I don't know if kids use Sesame Street as much as they did when my kids were growing up. But Sesame Street in 2011, and that since it's a nonprofit public organization, you can access their income and their financial records. It's supposed to be public. They made $138 million. Boy. Ernie's doing pretty good. $138 million. In 2011, their CEO, no, I'm sorry, the wrong date, 2008, their CEO was paid $900,000 from their profits. Now, the government, because they're a part of PBS and under the umbrella, they also get grants from the United States government, which is the taxpayers who give money. You can always see it from viewers like you, who give to them in their fundraisers. While the government decided to give a stimulus package to all these nonprofits who were on PBS, if they filled in the grants and everything, if they would create more jobs because they wanted to create a bigger job opportunity of employment. So Sesame Street did that. Now remember, their CEO got $900,000. They filled in the grant, got the grant for $1 million to create new jobs in the Sesame Street production, and with the $1 million they got, they hired I don't know if they cut that, made it $500,000 each, but two people were hired for $1 million. I think our government could have spent the money a little more wisely. In a sense, I think Sesame Street didn't even need the million if they made $138 million, and I can believe that. It's very popular. So you can write to your people who do that. Pray for our leaders. The Bible says that. I've been doing that for over 40 years. Because I take the Word of God seriously. So I pray for our president. I prayed for President Obama for the 8 years he was president. And I don't know why God allowed him to be our president for 8 years, but I guarantee you, I prayed for him. I said, Lord, please take him to Russia. Please take him to Russia. I'm just serious. I'm not serious. I'm just tongue-in-cheek. But I'm serious that I did pray. I did pray. And so God is telling them, because remember at this time, you got people that are emperors who aren't all that favorable to Christianity. And yet Peter and Paul tell the believer, pray for those in authority. So I always pray for those who are in authority. Now again, lastly, ultimately, you need to remember this. When God makes it pretty clear this is a biblical principle and it disregards the law, then you must stand with the biblical principle. God has said abortion, I mean, I take it pretty literally, is murder. When you intentionally go into the woman's womb and terminate that child who is growing, you have killed a soul. You have killed a child of God. You have intentionally done that. Now, I understand that sometimes there are miscarriages and problems like that, and God understands that and is in charge of that. But when you intentionally interrupt the pregnancy of a woman, you have killed that child. People, we need to stand firm for that. God says marriage is between a man and a woman. Always has been. So if people want to come forward and say, Sam loves Buck over here or Joe, I'm sorry. They might truly think they love one another, but their union is not a marriage in the sight of God. And we've got to take a stand for that and say, hey, that's unbiblical. I don't care if the government says it's okay. It's still a sin, and God calls it a sin. And there are other areas where, you know, God steps up and says it's sin. And when the government wants to step in and say, hey, all religions are equal and can get you to heaven, I'm sorry, that's not true. As long as I'm able to preach, there's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And Allah is not God. I'm sorry, Allah. Well, I'm not sorry in a sense, but what I'm saying is, are we that stupid as a people to think that? And yet, all religions don't lead to heaven. I mean, God made it pretty clear there's only one way. And so we as Christians have to stand up and say, yes, you might want to believe that, but the Bible says there's only one way. The government doesn't have that authority. So as long as God has given us breath and the opportunity to preach and to speak and make these stands, we should do it. Now, in some cases and in some places, that may require us to suffer and be persecuted. Now, you have to decide that if you want to suffer for speaking biblical truth. That's what Peter is encouraging the believers here to do, to take a stand biblically. Let's just stand now and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the government that you have established, and we have a right to stand up and preach Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to all stand firm, no matter what the government may do, that we will stand true for Jesus Christ in these days and at all times. In your name we pray. Amen. We're going to close by singing 423, Joy Unspeakable. If you'd like to make a decision for the Lord as Carol leads, I invite you to stand here with me in the front, 423.